Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin a study this morning what we're calling, and it should be right up there. We're calling it, there it is. Woo. Oh. Now, as you remember, I handed out the thing last time. Does anybody need a handout? I handed out a sheet last time for y'all to decide what you wanted to study. And I left cults off there. You remember, and y'all said, oh, we want cults. So I told you to write it in, and by the way, it got wrote in, and it was number one. It was Susie's. Yeah, it was her fault. But anyway, so we're studying cults because of all of you who want to study cults. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. When you think of a cult, you think of some religious group that's really different or weird sometimes. In the old days, you'd think of the Moonies in the airports with their head shaved or something like that. Or you think of people who might go going door to door with some message, which is definitely contrary to what you believe. The truth is that cults are sometimes very subtle. And they sound and look a lot of times like what we believe. They try to be like what we believe. The world is full of beliefs that are not biblical. And we're confronted daily with a fallen worldview that is contrary to the Scripture. So as we go through this study, and we're starting today, of course, we call it a cult's introduction, and we'll just go whatever speed we want to go. Remember, just like always, our class, we can do whatever we want. But as we go through this thing, we're going to look at the cults. The bottom line goes back to this. We have to go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God have to say? How do these groups fit and match the Scripture? And we're going to ask ourselves three big questions as we go through. Now, there's a lot of things we'll do, but we'll always say, what do these groups believe about the Bible? What do these groups believe about Jesus Christ? And what do these groups believe about salvation? That's the big three that you always go to, so to be able to help you as you look at those kind of things like that. We hope to accomplish certain goals as we go through our study, and here it is. The first of all, our first plan basically is to be grounded in what we believe, knowing the truths of the Word of God. So we've got that. Second is to be ready to give an answer to others about the truths of the Bible. Because if you know the Scripture and you're ready, when people come to you and they believe things that are contrary to the Bible or different from the Bible, you can go to the Scripture and say, but see, the Bible says this. You're saying this, but this is what the Bible says. And that would help us a lot. Over the next few weeks, we're going to try to touch on various groups. Cults, the ones we hear about. I've got a list of them on the next page. We'll talk about them in just a second. But we want to just have a basic understanding of what these people believe, so to speak, so that we can give an answer. Our goal is to understand the groups and see how they do not match the Scripture. And a lot of these groups believe they're Christians. A lot of these groups believe that they're the right ones, and we want to go back to the Scripture. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for our class. Thanks for our time together that we get to meet. Thank you for each one in this class. Lord, we just have so much fun. Thank you for the privilege to be able to go to the Bible and to study the Word of God. And Lord, help us as we think through these different groups that we would be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us, that we would have a good foundation of what we believe and how the Scripture fits together, and then we would know a little bit about what these people believe so that we can give answers and know how it doesn't match the Scripture. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to put all this together, and as we study, we'd continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as always, if you have questions, comments, input, just stop me and we'll do that. We're confronted daily, bombarded with teachings, with groups, with events that are different than what we call true Christianity. I mean, you just have to turn on the television and there's things there. If you just have to look out on the streets, there's things there. You just drive around in the communities and there are things there. As you look on the TV and the newspaper and open our doors, there are groups that are teaching things different things found in the Bible. You hear movie stars talk about Scientology. You see Oprah talking about the new earth and Eckhart Tolle and this philosopher who has this new religion, which is, it's like Christianity. In fact, a lot of people say, oh, it is Christianity, and we'll talk about that as we go through this. Or the occult, or the religious groups, people claiming to have found the new truth, or the new age, or the new earth, those kind of things. How do we deal with all this? We're hearing that a lot of people say that everybody's got their own beliefs, and there's not really one better than another. Everybody has the right to believe anything they want to believe, and all are equally valid. That's what you hear. Now, I want you to understand something. Everybody's got the right to believe whatever they want to believe, but they are not equally valid. There's only one that's right. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible, John 14:14, thou word is truth. There is only one truth. There are a lot of things that are weird. There are a lot of things that are off. And there are a lot of people say, well, everybody's got the right to believe what they want to believe. That's right. But not everything is valid and equally true. So how do we deal with all this? What is the truth? How do we know what to believe? How do we deal with cults? How do we deal with these false movements? Several years ago, some people came to the door. Two people came to our door. And Jean answered the door, and she is so sweet and nice. And she was talking to them, and it was my day off. And I was on the couch, and I heard some things, and I could not stay on the couch very long. And I didn't do really good, because I went there, and I said, wait a minute. And, of course, we started talking. I asked them questions, but they wouldn't answer. And when they wouldn't answer, they'd say, we didn't come here to argue. And I said, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just trying to tell you. You tell me what you believe. We'll show it, you know. And finally, they said, we're not going to stay here. I said, okay. You know, and that was okay. Our goal is not to run people off. Our goal is to know what we believe and be ready to give an answer. And sometimes help some of these people see what they're believing doesn't match the Bible. And see, that's one of the things you do is you say, now you teach this, but where does that fit in the Scripture? How does that fit in the Scripture? Sometimes they listen. Sometimes, well, let me say it this way. Sometimes they listen, but most of the time they don't. There are people that are in groups that are pretty much brainwashed into believing that this certain person who found this years ago, or this person got some kind of revelation from something, and this is what's really right. I have to tell you this story, and you've heard me tell it. It's the Eddie Rector story. Eddie Rector was a friend of mine. When I was in college at Delta State, he was our triple jumper and a great young guy. And he lived in Columbus, Mississippi. I moved out here, of course, you know, years later. And I got this letter in the mail from Eddie Rector saying, J.B., do you remember you led me to Christ? That's what he said. I didn't remember leading him to Christ. But I took credit for it when he said, yes, you did. So I said, okay, I did. Okay. But then he said this. He said, God has given me a new revelation, and I've been chosen by God to write a new Bible. And so I called Eddie, and I talked to his wife first. And I said, what's going on? And she said, this is so wonderful that God has chosen Eddie out of all the people in the world, that he has got the new revelation. It says that there's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the new beginnings, and he's going to be writing the new beginnings. So I got Eddie on the phone, and I said, Eddie, what's going on? He said, well, here's what happened. One morning I got up, it was like 3 in the morning, and I heard music, and it was like angels singing. I said, how did you know it was angels singing? He said, well, it sounded like angels. And I said, have you heard angels before? Well, it sounded like angels. And so he came down the living room, and coming out of his stereo system was this music. But it wasn't turned on. And so Eddie said, I'm hearing this music from angels coming out my stereo, but it's not turned on. So he went over and he unplugged it to make sure there was nothing. And so he got this music, and then he thought that he needed to sit down. And so he sat down and beginning to get a message from God that there's going to be a new beginning, and he is going to be the one to write the new beginning. And so I began to talk to Eddie, and I said, Eddie, have you gone to the doctor? And I talked to him for a long time before asking this, because sometimes when people get these kind of things, there may be something wrong with them. But Eddie said, oh, no, I'm fine. He said, just think. And he was from Drew, Mississippi. He's living in Columbus, but he was from Drew. And he said, just think. Drew is a small town. He said, just think, out of all the places in all the world, a country boy from Drew, Mississippi has been picked to write the new Scripture. And I said, well, Eddie, let me ask you this. What is this new Scripture going to say? And he said, three things, three main things. I said, what are they? He said, well, number one, God told me that Jesus isn't the only way anymore. Number two, the book of Revelation is not going to end the way it ends. There's going to be more. And number three, the Jews aren't God's people anymore. I said, Eddie, all three of those directly contradict the Word of God. If this is new revelation, it's not going to contradict, because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. He says that his people are going to always be his people, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way. He said, well, I don't come up with this. I just write it down. And I told Eddie that he was wrong, and that he had gotten wrong information, and that he either needed to go to a doctor, he needed to go to somebody, but this was not from God, because God's revelation would not be contrary to his former revelation if there was new revelation, although the book of Revelation seems to end everything and take us on for eternity. And Eddie and I haven't talked after that. I did call his wife because I thought that she might say, JB, something's happened to Eddie. He's getting all these visions and dreams and things. But when I called her and I said, tell me about Eddie, she said, isn't this the most wonderful thing that's ever happened? And I told her, it's not the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. But I haven't talked to him in a number of years. But I do have, if you ever want to read it, I have. He hand wrote to me the story of the angels coming to him and talking to him through the stereo system and all of that. So if you want to read it, I've got it handwritten in my office. I should have brought it today just so that you can see that I'm not making this story up. This sometimes happens. People sometimes think God's given them something. And we need to be ready. We need to be able to, what do you say to a person? What do you say to these people who say an angel came to a guy in 1800 and gave a new revelation that's different than this? How do we know that's not right? Or how does it work? Well, our goal as we study this is to know what we believe and be grounded in what we believe, being ready to give an answer. That's really the kind of thing. Knowing what we believe and being ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. When you think about cults, we always think sometimes or immediately something weird, like some people who think we came from an alien, or one day we're going to all be absorbed into the cosmos, or that each one of us is a god. I mean, you understand that a lot of people believe that everybody's a god. God's in all of us. We're all part of God. We have to find that enlightenment inside of us. We have to find who we really are. And so we got to be ready. We want to study groups or individuals that teach doctrines and principles that are contrary to the Word of God. And our plan in this study is, of course, to use the Scripture. Scripture is the key as we go through all of this. And it really comes down to those simple areas about the Bible, salvation, and Jesus Christ. The authority is the Word of God. It is the written revelation from God. It is complete and perfect. We need to have an understanding of those who deny Scripture, who have untruths about Jesus Christ, and who confused the message of salvation. Now, here's the outline of the study. I want you to see it. If you turn the page, the outline of the study is not up here, but it's in your, I think this is what you should have. We're going to start off this morning with the introduction of what is a cult, why study the cults, what are the marks of cults, that kind of thing. But then we're going to look at the various cult groups. And if you notice, I have them here, and I may not do them in this order, okay? Now, some I will, but some I might skip around because some are, I think, kind of more modern or more hitting us. The Mormons, we're going to talk about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons, we're going to talk about Jehovah's Witnesses. We will talk about the Unification Church, which is the Moonies, Reverend Sun Moon. The reason I want to hit on that is they're not as popular here as they had been, but I want you to understand that Sun Moon thinks he's Jesus. He thinks he's the third Jesus. That's what he thinks he is. He thinks second Jesus didn't do it. He's got to take his place. That's the kind of things we're talking about. Christian scientists, which is neither Christian nor science. Okay? The Unitarian Universalist, we want to see what that is. Transcendental meditation is a movement that a lot of people don't even think about. I was watching last night the Olympics, and one of our gymnasts has gotten into Eastern mysticism and I don't know if you saw did you see the Olympics last night? I mean, it took one of our Olympic guys and he talked about how he had not made the Olympic team in like 2004 or whatever. And so he's now got into the Eastern mysticism and it showed him going through all this stuff and now how he's going to think in a positive type way. And that's transcendental meditation, yoga, and all those things. The New Age movement, and I put Eckhart Tolle there because that's Oprah. And once she puts a book on her deal and just says it's fine, suddenly everybody thinks it's fine, and what you'll find is that it's not fine. And I know that people who are Christians, they're talking about that even Christians are getting the book and saying, he's a Christian. Eckhart Tolle is not a Christian. It's not a Christian book. It's a cult. So we'll talk about that. And then the occult. We'll deal with the occult a little bit. Scientology, which some famous movie stars are into Scientology. And some of the things in Scientology, if you know what they actually believe, you will not believe people actually believe this. I mean, you'd say, you can't tell me that somebody who actually thinks actually believes that. And then we'll just kind of put it together to the end. So that's the kind of things we're going to do. In our summary, we'll talk about dealing with the cults, some three key principles there, and the idea of being salt and light in the community and those kind of things. So as we get started this morning, we'll start with four questions. And I think we have them here. Here's the questions. First of all, what is a cult? What exactly? How are we going to define it? How do we put it together? The second thing is, why study the cults? Why would we do this? We did it because Susie wanted to do it. No, actually, we did it because you all you wanted to do it. And I think it's very important that we do have an understanding of what is out there. Because there are a lot of people who say they're Christians or that there are some Christian group, and they're really not. And so we'll look at that. The third thing is, what are the marks of a cult? And there's some things there that we want to highlight. And then number four is, why do people get involved with these things? I mean, why would a person believe that some alien being came and did something and that's why you're who you are? Or that you were a spirit being just floating around looking for a body? Or that there's no such thing as sickness or death, and that death is not real? That even though people die, they don't really die? There's no death? It's just in their imagination? Why would somebody get into that group? Who knows? Well, we'll talk about it. So let's start with the first question, and that's, what is a cult? I mean, what is this? It varies according to whom you're talking to. Walter Martin is a guy, he's dead now, but he had a book called Kingdom of the Cults. It's pretty thick. It takes all of the major cult groups, and he goes through them, and he goes through them in huge detail. And so some books like that, you may look at it and go, that's just too much information. I don't need that much information. There are other ones, but Walter Martin did that book, and he defined a cult as a group of people gathered around a group of people gathered around a specific person or person's interpretation of the Bible. Because let me tell you, most cults somehow have the Bible connected with them. We'll talk about it more in a minute. But so it's a group that's usually gathered around a person. A second definition, maybe better give them time to write that one down. Y'all didn't get it written down right? Or didn't? Go back to that one. It's a group of people gathered around a specific person or person's interpretation of the Bible. That's how Walter Martin defines a cult. Usually a cult begins with some person, some leader, someone who gets some new information, gets something, says this is from God somehow. It's the Eddie Rector complex. You know, here's Eddie. He's got new information, and whoever follows him around, they're going to say, we're following this, you know, the new beginnings or something. So it's a group of people usually gathered around a specific person or person's interpretation. Another definition, I hope you have time to write that, but another definition is just a religious group whose views is based on false doctrine. Okay, it's a little bit too basic there because there is a difference between a cult and a false religion. We'll talk about it in just a second. But another definition is a religious group that sort of is just based on false doctrine. Their views, they don't go by the Scripture. Most all of them have something other than the Scripture. In fact, we'll see it in just a minute when we get to the marks. So a cult could be this religious group that's gathered around a person or a group, and their interpretation is based really on a false doctrine or false view of the Scripture. Question, is there a difference between a cult and a false religion? A false religion usually is like Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. It has God as a concept or something. That's a little different because a cult usually has some connection with Jesus or our Bible or something like that. So a cult, we'd say, are those who are sort of offshoots some way of Christianity, while Islam and while false religions sometimes don't have any connection at all with Christianity. You know, it's just a false religion. You know, in that way. So that's a little bit of the difference. Cults usually use the Scripture, and they have false, or try to use the Scripture. They have false interpretations, and they usually have a real confused view of who Jesus is. That's one of the things that you find. Now, let me give you an example. If you think of Jehovah's Witnesses, they're everywhere. They have Kingdom Hall. They have their little buildings. They go door to door. But it was started by two men, Charles Russell and J.F. Rutherford. And we'll talk about what they believed and why they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. And what's the problem? Well, the problem is they don't think Jesus is God. They think he's a God, but not the God. And we'll talk about that. They have a different Scripture. We'll talk more about that. When you think about Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. She's got her writings. She started writing all this stuff down. She was very sickly as a young person. She said, I'm just not going to ever admit that I'm sick. There's no such thing as sickness or disease. So she started Christian Sciences, or the whole idea of all of her writings and all the stuff. And people just go read in the Christian Science reading room of her writings and say, yes, there's no sickness. There's no, you know, no death, those kind of things. Then you have the Mormons with Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and what they believe in. You know, as you look at the Mormons, and today they have really pushed themselves to try to be just like us. They're not. They're not even close. And we'll talk a little bit more about them. The Unity School, you might have never heard of Unity, but Unity and Unitarianism and all that comes. There was that shooting, if you remember, a week or two ago, about a man went into a church in which they were putting on a play. The play was Annie in the church, but it was the Unitarian Church. That's this group right here that we're talking about. who are the Unity Unitarians? Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard. It all started from a book, a fictional book by L. Ron Hubbard. And we'll talk about what that is. The New Earth, Eckhart Tolle. Just turn on Oprah. In fact, if you want to, just go to your website deal. Go to, well, I don't know all those little deals you go to, but just go and look up either Oprah or look up Eckhart Tolle, T-O-L-L-E. It'll come up and you can go and it'll say his teachings. You can click on button and you can watch him sit there and do this. Well, we all know that in this world there is an inner being of all people. I watched them ask him a question. And they said, what happens when you die? And his answer was, we try not to think about that. Millions of people are reading his book and following him. And a lot of them are Christians who think he's a Christian author. It's all over. Just go look at him. Go listen to what he has to say. You can go to his website. Well, if you want to, okay, you don't have to. No, she said she didn't want to, and I'm for you. I don't want it. I wouldn't go to it if it wasn't for this class. This should not surprise us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Look what it says. I mean, we're at the top of that next page. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Just as there were false prophets all throughout history, and when the nation of Israel, you know, they had a way to deal with a false prophet. You know how they dealt with a false prophet? See, they said this, if you're going to give a prophecy, it's got to come true. If it doesn't come true, what happens to you? That you kill them. Okay? There were false prophets. He says, just as there were false prophets, there will be false teachers among you. You know this. I don't know if you grasp this, but there are people on purpose who know what they teach is not biblical, and they teach it, and they are false teachers, and they know they're teaching it. Yes?
Just a very well done presentation of the gospel, really, through that family. But immediately after that, the first commercial was about a minute and a half commercial for Mormonism. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautifully melded from their standpoint into what they had been talking about, but showing how crafty and how nicely they are able to integrate their philosophy and teaching into something that's totally contrary to what they're teaching.
Exactly. I don't know if you could hear him, but he said he saw Stephen Curtis Chapman on Larry King Live, and he gave a clear gospel and all of that. And then immediately following that, a commercial for Mormonism came on, and it blended right in. It looks like Stephen Curtis Chapman had been talking about Christianity and Jesus Christ and salvation, and then it moves right on to another testament of Jesus Christ. You know, it's what it looks like. And people would say, the Mormons, they're the same. I'm going to tell you, they're not the same. They're right up the hill. They can come down here and sit in this room, and I'll tell them to their face, they're not the same. And you better be ready to tell them to their face. And you better be ready to tell all these people, because there's this Eastern mysticism stuff that's out there with Oprah and all that stuff. There are people that are just buying into this stuff. And we better be ready to go back to the scripture and say, what does the word of God say? Because that's the key. Is that a bell?
Yeah.
Oh, good gracious alive. Okay, here's what he says. Just as there were these false prophets, there will be false teachers among you. They are there. There'll be false teachers among you. And notice what it says. They bring in destructive heresies. A heresy, is the old saying is, a heresy is a truth that's taken too far. Usually a heresy has some grain of truth in it. What was the original lie? Yeah, what was the thing? It says, if you eat this fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Is that true? It was true, but it was they would not be like God. And so that's what happens. False teachers do this all the time. That's why be wary when people don't use the Scripture. If they're not teaching through Scripture, if they're not using the Bible as the foundation. Now, you have to be careful because they can just go to a verse and pull anything out and make it say anything you want. But, you know, bottom line is it's got to be back to the Scripture. Bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, denying Jesus Christ, what He did, who He is. Well, there are people who say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're what? As long as you're sincere about it, that's all that really matters. Well, you can take the wrong medicine and be sincerely wrong and die from it. And you can be sincere about what you believe, and you can be wrong and be separated from God forever because of it. So we want to be right. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for all sin, even the false teachers. You notice that He died for all people, denying the Master who bought them. False teachers fool us. 2 Corinthians, I'm just going to turn there. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. I know we're just about out of time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. And I think I have it. Yeah. He comes as an angel of light. Look at this. Listen to this. It says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." There are people that are going to come telling you they are representing Jesus Christ. And notice what it goes on to say. "No wonder. For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their deeds." False teachers, they're not going to come acting and saying things that are contrary all the time to the Scripture. They're going to try to be as close. I mean, the whole thing of counterfeit is to be as close as you can get without being there. That's why I said several weeks ago on Sunday morning, that Satan would rather have a person in church as long as they never trust in Christ. He doesn't care how often they come to church. He'd rather have them in church.
J.B., how are we to understand a fellow like Joel Osteen? He's written this book now. I can't remember the title of it, but basically it's the best life is now, not what we're looking for in the future. How do we deal with that?
Well, there are a lot of people who like Joel Osteen, and I'm going to be as honest as I can be, that I don't think Joel Osteen has a very clear message at all. If he has a message of salvation, I'm not saying he's not a Christian. I'm saying that I've not heard him ever give the clear gospel message that faith alone in Christ alone. His message is more of what we used to call the name it, claim it, the enjoy life now group. I'm not saying he's not a Christian. I'm saying that his message is very confused. And I would hope that the people who are connected with him or like him would really read his messages carefully and then go back to Scripture and make sure they're dealing with the Scripture, because the message is not very clear. I would not say that he's not a Christian, because I do not know. I've not heard. I've never talked to him. I've never said, "Tell me where you stand." But when I've heard his messages and I've read his book, I got it. He sent his book to, I think, every pastor in the United States, because I got his first book. And I read it, and I don't mean this bad, but by the first chapter, I already knew exactly what he believes. And it's not what I believe. It's not what I see the Scripture. It's not how I see the Christian life. So, you know, he's probably a good man, probably. I just don't think he has the message that we would want proclaimed. So I don't know how to deal with that without making a lot of people mad. Is that the second bill? And you know, and I don't know if you could hear her, but she said it was more of he's going to praise the people and they're going to feel good. And there's nothing wrong with people feeling good and understanding who they are in Christ. But there are rights and wrongs and things we need to know and apply. And the Scripture is the foundational for everything. And there may be some times when you study the Bible that you don't feel that good, because you say, I've been doing this and this is wrong. I need to make some changes, or I need to grow, or I need to do this. So, I'd rather not. I'd like to get off Joel Osteen if we could. And okay, was that the second bell already? Whew. Okay. All right. I'm out of this one. Be careful. There are cults everywhere. So we're going to pray, and then we'll get back next week, and we'll get into why study them, and then we'll talk about some different things, some different marks of the cults. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great, great morning. Thank you for the opportunity to look into the Scripture and to get some foundations, especially on the fact that there'll be false teachers and how they come as angels of light, and how their message sometimes looks right, and we have to be very careful. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for each one in this room who love you and want to live for you and want to be ready to give an answer and want to know what they believe and stand for the truth. So thank you so much for that, Lord. Help us as we go through this, Lord, that not to offend people. Our goal is not to offend people, but our goal is to teach truth so that we can know it and apply it and grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.